is Erica Hamlin. I'm a licensed professional counselor and life coach. And today I'm joined by my two partners in crime, Angela Bell, communications manager, and Lynn Bortek, licensed clinical social worker. And today's podcast is all about happiness. Now, Lynn, I know that you came across a quiz online about happiness. And let's maybe test our little happiness IQs, how much we know about happiness.
Okay, so these are just a few questions, and let's see how we do. Angie, I will ask you the first question. Is this statement true or false? You're either born happy or you're born unhappy.
I think it has to be unhappy. I mean, you come out crying, right? So it doesn't sound very happy.
That's a really good point. But so the answer is false. And actually, for a very long time, people thought that everybody is hardwired to either be a really happy person or a really negative, unhappy person, no matter what happens in your life. But now we realize that certain mindsets and certain practices allow us to make a choice and make our own personal happiness. So let's try number two. Erica, why don't you take this one? Tell me which is your choice. Overall, happy people do not A, get exercise, enjoy intimacy with someone special, eat and sleep well. B, happy people do not feel gratitude, optimism, and pleasure each day. Or C, happy people do not have higher IQs and make more money. Which do you think is correct?
So I know that, you know, Lynn, if you and I were working with a client, we would encourage them to do things like get exercise and eat and sleep well and take care of their bodies, but also to practice things like gratitude and optimism and, you know, do things that they enjoy every day to improve their mood and their overall well-being. So I'd have to say that the last one is not true. I know, you know, they say money can't buy you happiness. I would assume smarts can't buy you happiness either.
That's exactly right. You know, sometimes we look at people who are driving around in fancy cars or wearing, you know, fancy clothes or whatever, and we think, oh, they must be happier than I am, or they're really smart. They must be happier than I am. But neither of those is true. The people who tend to be happier are the ones that are grateful and optimistic and who do get exercise. They enjoy intimacy with special people in their life and eat and sleep well. So yeah, great. Let's go to number three. Choose one answer from these four options. At what age do people tend to be the happiest? A, from 10 to 17 years old, B, from 18 to 29 years old, C, from 30 to 50 years old, or D, 50 years old and over. Which do you think?
I know when you're unhappiest.
When?
I could say which age you're the least happy.
When?
Like during middle age, like your 30s and 40s, you tend to be the least happiest. There's like all this research, it like dips down during middle age and then it climbs back out over when you're like about 50. They even see it in like primates. Their happiness dips.
Okay.
During middle age.
Angie, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that would be the opposite for me because the 30s were probably the best so far for me. I really liked my 30s. I'm 40 now, so we'll see how that goes. 10 through 17, I was not happy. I had a lot of puberty and everything and life changes. And 18 through 29, I was just trying to fit. So for me personally, I would probably choose C.
30 through 50. Okay, well, you know what? The experts and the people who do research say that people who are over 50 tend to be less stressed. They get less angry and upset about things, and overall, they tend to be less worried. They tend to also feel better about themselves. And the researchers say that it might really just be that as you age, you get to know yourself better, you get to react to experiences differently, and you just develop different emotional intelligence about the world.
Interesting. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, you're at your peak. You have all of your experience from life, and you can take that all in and feel comfortable with who you are and the life around you.
So thanks, ladies, for taking part in that little survey. If you're interested in, or if any listeners are interested in taking more of the questions, these are only three questions out of a survey that I found on WebMD. And if you're interested in finding it, you can just go to WebMD and search for happiness, and you'll find this quiz.
All right. So should we talk about happiness itself and things that people can do to sort of boost their happiness levels?
Yeah.
So happiness is partially what happens and partially how you perceive it. Although I would say it's mostly how you perceive it. You know the saying, like, when you get lemons, you know, make lemonade, or sour grapes, you get grapes and then you think that they're sour. So, like, here's an example. The pandemic is the pandemic. And, you know, but some people are they're fine. I have some clients right now who are living their best lives during the pandemic. I know some people for whom it's really helped them get in touch with what matters. Other people are having a really hard time. So even, you know, situations like COVID-19 can have positives based on how you look at them. So let's talk about some things that tend to be on many people's "what makes me happy" list.
I think one of the big things that people can do that's really simple and easy is gratitude, right? Look at the world around you. Look at your life that you're living and what you're thankful for. There's so many things out there that we can be thankful for. Sometimes I think of even the little tiny small things that make me happy, like those little tiny little flowers in the grass. They're just so tiny, the little purple ones. Those always make me smile, and I like to go up and look at them really close. Just little things like that. You know, my ducks in the yard playing around and splashing in the little pool we have for them. I mean, that always makes me laugh, and I'm so grateful for them. You know, of course, I'm grateful for family and so many other things, but I think just taking time each day, you could get a journal and jot down, you know, maybe it's just one thing each day. You jot down one thing you're grateful for and go on to the next day. Or maybe you just do it once a week. And there's a guy at work who actually does this thing called Thankful Thursday. And every Thursday, and he's so consistent. I can't believe he does this every single Thursday. And he's been doing it for years now. And every Thursday he puts this post out there called his Thankful Thursday. And it's like a little blog. And he does five things that he's grateful for. And then people can respond and post their five things. And I'm just really in awe of him and his ability to be able to do that every single Thursday. You get so busy and sucked up into these life and work and things. It's hard to, you know, take time to slow down and think about the things you're grateful for. But when you do, it really makes you smile.
I love that. And I think that, you know, I'm not a journal person, but I think that writing down the things that make you happy from day to day is a really great tool, because then on a day when you're kind of feeling bummed out, you can look back on your gratitude journal. But I agree with you. The smallest things make me happy. If I focus on things, I mean, maybe it's not small, but we adopted a puppy during the pandemic. And oh my gosh, she gives me 1,000 reasons to laugh every single day and smile. And I'm so grateful that we got her during this time.
Another good thing is, you know, giving back and volunteering in your community or wherever you are. I mean, right now during COVID, there's all kinds of online virtual ways that you can volunteer too, but also helping people in your local neighborhood. You know, we have a neighbor who's a little bit older, and you know, she needs help. She needs rides here or there sometimes, or, you know, I've ordered groceries for her before. Chris has helped her with, you know, her cabling and internet over there. So I think it's, you know, finding those little ways that you can help and volunteer. Lynn, I know you've done a lot of different things in your community.
Yeah, I have found, I didn't even know that these opportunities existed, but during the time that people were really sheltering in place and not going very much of anywhere. I learned that there were meal delivery options to frail elders and so forth, and I got very involved in that. And it's it really is gratifying, and it made me very happy. It's amazing how happy you can feel from helping other people.
Yeah, so people can, you know, check out what kind of opportunities there are in their area to give back and maybe boost their happiness levels.
Yeah, and there's a couple of good sites out there where you can find different opportunities in your local neighborhood. Just put your zip code in and they'll give you all kinds of different ideas. Another good thing is just, you know, smiling and laughing every day. It actually releases oxytocin, which is like a feel-good chemical in your brain. And laughing lowers your stress and it boosts your immune system. So it's really a very physically good thing for you, and it will make you physically feel better. I mean, there's so many ways you can smile and laugh. I like to watch funny movies, even the same ones that I've seen, you know, 10 times. I'll still watch it because it's classic humor. It just makes me laugh all the time.
Right now, I have been curating my entertainment very carefully because, you know, the world is offering up a lot of stress on like a little poo-poo platter. It's like a poo-poo platter of stress. So in my free time, I'm careful about, you know, watching movies and TV shows that are like fun and easy to watch. You know, short little videos on social media that are funny are really great. And so that's kind of, those are the things that I've been doing.
Yeah, you know, on the same note, it's really funny because my husband and I kind of sit down and watch something on TV at night. We usually kind of like those spy and that kind of movies, you know, suspense and all that. We have been agreeing to turn off almost everything that has violence or just too much suspense because we're already worked up. We don't need it. We need something light.
Yeah, and one of the best ways to smile and laugh is with your family and your friends, right?
Yeah.
When you're around people that make you laugh, you know, sometimes it's just those people that, you know, everything that happens, it's just, it's funny and you're laughing all the time when you're with those people or talking with those people.
That's a really good point because another thing that makes people happy is having good relationships with family and friends. Because when you spend time with people that you like, you're spending time in supportive, positive relationships, and that helps you when you're stressed out. Of course, you have to be careful who you pick as friends. If you know, you want to pick people who tend to be more positive or look at life more optimistically. And you can also bond with other people through common experiences, just like life's ups and downs. I mean, I know a lot of my friends and I talk almost every day, although we don't see each other every day because of COVID, but we talk every day or we connect virtually, you know, by video chat or something. And we're really bonding through this difficult time. So having a support network can be very, very important to being a happy person.
Yeah, that's so true. During, you know, this time with COVID and everything, it's funny because a lot of my family is in another state. So I typically don't see them very often anyway. We have phone calls and things like that. But, you know, with COVID and everything and all of these video chats and people encouraging that, I've actually seen them quite a lot more lately than, you know, ever before. We're doing like regular video chats and I feel like we're even bonding and connecting even more. And it does. It makes me feel so good just to see them and see how they're doing and see the nieces and nephews and stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's been the same on my end. We have like standard video calls set up with, you know, my parents. Brendan does a call with his parents once a week. And then I have a call set up with some close friends of mine where we just have coffee together. So, yeah, I think those relationships are really important.
I also think that what I mentioned, finding or kind of bonding, hanging around more even virtually, with people who think optimistically is good, and trying to help yourself think optimistically, like not looking for all of the bad news every day, even though that's pretty much what we get, but looking for some happy stories in the newspaper or on TV or something, because when you think optimistically, you can find things that will make you feel happier and make you feel like there is really, you know, there are great things ahead and just happier overall.
I was listening to a woman talk, maybe it was a couple months ago, and she was really disappointed because she had this amazing European trip planned that she had been looking forward to for, I don't know, like a year or something. And then it got canceled because of the pandemic. And I was, you know, I was watching her get coached, and where she landed was that part of the fun of the trip is the anticipation of it. And now she gets to anticipate it longer because it's going to be put off. So now she gets to anticipate it and enjoy the anticipation of the trip for a longer period of time.
That's cool.
That's an interesting perspective. That's definitely an optimistic viewpoint.
Mm-hmm. And I think you can feel sad. I mean, there's nothing wrong with feeling sad and feeling disappointed, you know, or even worrying about the future. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's important to give equal airtime to the best case scenario, too.
I was just thinking, going back to the news, which I find to be generally a downer, I was so thrilled to see a really happy story today on the front page of my newspaper where lifeguards actually saved somebody whose plane went down in some fairly shallow water at the beach. And I thought, oh my gosh, a great happy story with a happy ending. This is wonderful. And I'm so glad it's on the front page and it's not hidden somewhere where I won't see it. This is wonderful. It really made me feel better, and it just tickled that optimistic bone.
Yeah, kudos to that paper for putting a positive story like that on the front page. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So another thing that you can do that will definitely make you feel better, even though sometimes it's hard to convince yourself of this, is to exert yourself and to get up off the couch, even when you're feeling blue and you just kind of want to melt into the cushions or take a nap. The human body was really made to move, and the body does its best job in every way when it is exercised. And so going even to take a walk, you don't have to go, you know, run 5 miles or anything. Even just taking a walk helps you, because those feel-good hormones that Angie talked about before, oxytocin, that gets released when you exercise, and it just lifts your spirits. Try taking a walk and see if you don't come back feeling better. And also, it helps release some of your stress. It's a healthy way to release stress.
Yeah, I do an exercise every morning. Now I'm going to say I have been sticking to it. There was about 2 months that I was completely off of it, but I got back on track, and I can tell you I feel so much better when I do it. There are some days I miss because I'm not perfect and I have to give myself grace, but I've been doing it pretty regularly for the past month or so. And when I do miss a day, I can feel the difference. It's a great way to start my day and set my intention.
Yeah, I feel like I'm out of my exercise routine also. But back when I was doing it on a regular basis, I could not go longer than 2 days. Like if I went 2 days in a row without working out, by that third day, I was starting to get like moody, you know, and cranky.
Yeah. It's easy to get in a rut though. You know, once you go those 2 days, you're like, oh, maybe it's the third day. Like, what's the difference? And then before you know it, a week, then a month, and then you get stuck in a rut. So just, I guess, remembering the positive feelings that you had when you were doing it so that you can get back to it.
You know, a little like hack I've used when I have not been motivated to go for a walk or just get outside and get moving is I'll tell myself all I have to do is put on my shoes and walk out the door. And then I can come back in if I want. but I just need to put on my shoes and I can just walk out the door, walk out to the front porch. That's all I have to do. That's the goal. And that feels so much more attainable than the thought like, oh, I need to go and get on my shoes and I need to go like walk 2 miles or 3 miles. And, you know, when I think that, my brain's like, no way, that's too much work. But once I'm out the door with my shoes on, I can come back inside. But I can keep, usually I keep going. I'm like, all right, I'm out here. Oh, it's so nice. I think I'll walk. Yeah.
I love that.
That's such a smart thing because you're breaking it down into smaller steps.
Yeah. And then you have the momentum to keep going and it's easier. And I love exercise for all kinds of reasons. You know, it's a mood booster. It's good for your body physically. But it also helps you get a better night's rest. I just gave a webinar on this the other night and you know, sleep is so important and sleep is really important to your mood too. I mean, that there's a reason why mood disorders like depression and anxiety interfere with your sleep and then vice versa, right? They're just so closely tied. So just getting a good night's sleep, you know, 7 to 9 hours, I think is the average for adults. Can make a huge difference in your ability to, you know, manage stress and feel good.
Yeah. I mean, like if I get, you know, 4 hours of sleep or something like that, like my mind doesn't function the same way the next day. I can't even like make decisions quickly enough. Like I'll be in a meeting and somebody's asking me something or they say something and I just have to ask them to repeat it again, you know, because I'm not even focusing very well. So yeah, sleep is so important.
You want to aim for a healthy amount of sleep. Like any good thing, there can be too much of a good thing and there can be too much sleep. So, you know, if you are consistently sleeping, say, you know, 10, 11, even 12 hours, or you're just sleeping all day long, you probably want to talk to a doctor about that.
That's a good point.
Talking about sleep, I find that sometimes, not every single day, but sometimes I just get where I just need to put my head down. And sometimes a nap of like a half hour to an hour can make me feel fabulous. I just feel like I'm starting the day all over again. I feel very rejuvenated and it's really terrific.
Yes, I do power napping and not very often. I used to do it more often. I find that the more I work out, the less naps I feel like I need. But power napping is where you just do like 15 to 20 minutes, and that's it. And some people can't really do that because they can't fall asleep that soon. But I only do it when you get those sleepy eyes and your eyes are just closing and you're like, you start talking in your sleep out loud and you're like, whoa, I need to go to sleep because I'm not getting anything done here. So at that point, I'll set my alarm on my phone and I'll just lay down for about 15 minutes. And as soon as that goes up, I wake up and I get right back to it and I feel refreshed.
Yeah, I'm jealous of people who can nap. I am not a napper. I spend the entire time laying there trying to fall asleep. And then I fall asleep finally, and then I end up napping too long. So then when I wake up, then I'm groggy. And then I have trouble falling asleep at night. I am not a good napper, but I'm very jealous of people who are. I want to be a good napper.
I'm the same way. If I sleep too long, if I do a too long of a nap, it's not good because then I will feel groggy when I wake up and then I won't be able to get to sleep. But that's why I got to do 15 minutes and that's it.
I think in the webinar I gave, it said, when I was researching this, I think they said 30 minutes. Don't go past 30 minutes because then you'll start to be in a deeper phase of sleep. And so you will wake up groggy. So they said, I think 30 minutes is good.
Interesting.
Well, and I think given what's going on right now, we're seeing all kinds of people do things that are very upsetting for us, right? But I think, you know, right now, all you have to do is turn on the news or get on social media and you're going to see somebody doing something that you don't like, that is very upsetting to you. And so I think learning how to, you know, extend grace to other people and forgive them, you know, and maybe it's not even just about forgiving people for what they're doing right now, but forgiving people in for things in the past. Like, are you carrying things with you now that you're upset about that happened in your past? Because that's not hurting the other person to carry around that anger and all those upset feelings, it's really impacting your ability to be happy. And forgiving somebody isn't like saying that what they did was okay or what they're doing is okay. It's about saying, you know, setting that boundary between you and them and choosing not to carry around their choices and the anger about their choices.
Yeah. And I think you have to forgive yourself. And sometimes that can be the hardest thing to do. I know I struggled with that in the past with some of my feelings of guilt. But it's interesting that we're going through all of these different tips and things, you know, exercising, getting enough sleep, thinking optimistically, connecting with friends and family, you know, all of these different things, volunteering. But you're not going to be able to do those things all the time. And you're going to slip. You're going to miss, you know, some of those things. And you may have days where you're not so happy. I mean, you have to forgive yourself and you have to move on.
In the webinar that I gave on forgiving, they make a very good point that you could be angry about something that somebody did or something that they don't even know they upset you. And so walking around angry at them and being, you know, negative about something and carrying a grudge is all about you. It's internal for you. It's not something between you and another person. It's really about you not letting something go.
That's a great point. I mean, you can't control what other people do. Don't they call it like mini volcanoes or whatever, where people just have all this feelings towards somebody of anger or resentment, and they don't ever communicate about them. And then the smallest thing happens, you know, like they accidentally knock a glass over and then the person explodes at them because they've been bottling up all these feelings and emotions. And you're like, what? I just spilled a glass of water. Yeah. And it's much more than that. So you definitely have to get those feelings out and talk about them with people and forgive them. Even if you don't talk about them, I think inside in yourself or working with a counselor, you have to find a way to forgive others.
When they say forgive and forget, it's you don't have to forget. But the fact is that some of the people that you're still angry at may not even still be alive. And so you may not be able to work it out with them, but you still need to work out within yourself if you want to be a happy person, a way to forgive whatever it is that you're feeling about them or whatever they did.
Forgiveness is definitely complicated.
Yeah, it's definitely complicated for sure. Oh, talking about forgiveness stressed me out. Let's talk about stress. Stress and happiness. I mean, there's plenty to stress about. There always is. There's always plenty to stress about. And I think especially right now, I mean, oh, good grief. You know, there's a lot going on. There's a lot to feel stressed about. So learning how to manage your stress, I think, is so, so important when it comes to happiness.
Totally. I totally agree. And I mean, I think de-stressing is one of the most important things that we can do. It's a really important part of taking care of ourselves and keeping ourselves happy. So I think that one of the most important happiness tools that we can have in our happiness toolbox is a way that we de-stress, whether it's exercise or painting or writing or talking on the phone with a really good friend, something healthy, something that's not bad for you, something that will help you de-stress and avoid more stress.
Yeah, I think also, you know, we're saying avoid stress, but at the same time, I think it's more important to think around managing stress, right? Because we're always going to have stress. Stress is always going to be there. It's a natural response in our body. Mm-hmm. We just have to find ways to manage that stress because it's really a matter of how well you can handle that stress. If you're not able to control all the stress in your mind, then you're going to feel stressed out and you're going to be very unhappy. But if you can find ways to manage that stress, then it's going to feel like life is more manageable and you're going to be able to experience happiness more. Just like, you know, with work, I can look at my work and I can say, oh my goodness, I have so much to do. Like, there's no way I'm going to be able to accomplish this. And I can just, like, that will stress me out just looking at everything I have to do. But on the other hand, if I say, okay, what am I going to do today? Here's what I'm going to do today. And I jot down three or four things that I know I can accomplish today. Then at the end, I don't feel so stressed because I'm not sitting there thinking about everything that's coming at me. I'm thinking about one thing at a time and I'm going from one thing to the next. And I think that helps me manage my stress.
Because I think a lot of times we try to berate ourselves into being productive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it just backfires. It just makes you feel like you're failing all over the place.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Because if you start something and then you get started on another thing and it's like you can't ever accomplish anything, you feel very unsuccessful at the end of the day.
Well, that takes me back to our very first podcast on multitasking and how unsatisfying and unproductive it is. And so I think what you said is really so relevant to, you know, to staying happy and satisfied and not being down on yourself is to pick and choose what you can realistically get done and then attack those things or go after those things rather than overwhelming yourself and overwhelming yourself not only with work, but with the stress that goes with it.
And it's funny that you mentioned the multitasking thing because at work, we've started doing video cam meetings a lot more with like all kinds of meetings. And I've talked to a lot of people and they're doing video cam meetings too. And I find that it's much more of a productive meeting because we're all paying attention because we're all on camera. And I think I also feel happier at the end of the meeting because I got to see people that I don't normally see. And I just hear their voices all the time, but you're seeing them, you're seeing their surroundings, and sometimes a kid will pop in or they'll pull up an animal, you know, one of their furs.
Are you talking about my kid?
Definitely. Definitely. But it's great.
And my animal.
And that's another part of connectedness, of happiness, where, you know, you're connecting with others more versus just the telephone. Just seeing people, I think, is another part of making people happy. Well, so how can you find your happy? I mean, we've talked about all of these different kinds of tips and suggestions on ways to become happy, but it's going to be different for everyone. Everyone's going to have different ways that makes them happy, different things that they can do that makes them smile. I think there's a lot of great tips that you can introduce in your day-to-day. Maybe just choose one of these and try it every day. Maybe it's the gratitude thing. Or maybe it's, you know, calling a friend once a week and connecting with them. You don't have to push it to the max and I'm going to be the ultimate happy person and try to do all of these things. I mean, but you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. To find happiness and to find your happiness, you can just do a few simple things and find what works for you.
Make it a project. Make it a happiness search. And just start to notice the things in your everyday life that make you happy. And you might want to jot them down or just take note of the fact that, hey, that made me happy. I'm going to do that again.
That's a great idea. I love that. I mean, honestly, don't expect perfection. Nobody's going to be happy 100% of the time. That's not realistic. You're going to get down. You're going to have good days and bad days. And that's okay.
And really, no matter where you fall on the happiness scale, maybe you're feeling happy right now, but you want to feel happier. Maybe you have one bad day where you're unhappy. Maybe you have lots of days where you're unhappy all in a row. No matter where you fall on that spectrum, help is available for you to, you know, improve your mood. So you can contact your employee assistance program and get free short-term therapy. It's a really amazing resource to help you live a happier and healthier life. All right, so that concludes our podcast for today. Thanks for listening in on how to be happy. And join us next month when we're going to talk all about how pets are super awesome. Meow.
Woof, woof,
woof.
Quack.